Good morning. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Graham. I'm the teaching pastor here at Elam Chapel. And we're starting a new series today. It's going to be a short series, not like our John series, which has been going since the beginning of the year. But just a short four-week series that we're going to start today. But let's have a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the ability to gather, that we could be together today. Lord, we remember those who can't be here, who for various reasons, mostly health, but some just due to schedule, God, who couldn't be here today. We pray that you would envelop them in your presence. We pray that you would comfort them with your love, with a community that holds them in thought and prayer, that we love those members of our body who can't be here today. We miss them, and we hope to one day be reunited with them soon. Lord, we pray for your mercy and your compassion to continue to flow. In your name we pray. Amen. We're starting a new series today called Diving In. There we go. We've got the graphic up. I like it. I like this new graphic. Today, our focus for today and in this series generally, but especially today, is growth, on growing in our faith. It's about growing together, but it's also about how we as individuals can grow in our faith. Our goal for today comes from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Now, I do want to say, for some of us, this will be an exciting time of learning and pushing forward, but for some of us, we've already checked out. Some of us feel like we know this already. How to grow in your faith? I think I've got that figured out at this point. I've been at this for 20, 30, 40 years, right? Good for you. That's great. But I ask this. Are you growing in your faith? Sure, you know how, but are you doing it? Do you feel like you're at maximum spirituality? Engage. Right? Or do you feel like there's still room for you to grow? I think we all have room to improve. We can all benefit from reminding ourselves of these essentials and of making sure that we're doing them. There's a pastor joke that I'm fond of that relates to this idea. There's a church that hires a new pastor. He comes well-recommended with prestigious degrees and an accomplished career of service in the church. He gets up on his first Sunday, and he preaches a fantastic message. It's biblically sound, theologically accurate. It's applicable to daily life. After the service, everyone is abuzz, right? This is surely the man to lead our church. They come back the next week, and the pastor gets up and preaches exactly the same message as the previous week. This is off-putting, to say the least. But many of the people noticed things that they missed last week, and it was still a good message. But the next week, when he preaches the same message again, there is less enthusiasm. And the fourth week, the pastor is finally approached by the elders of the church, who ask, "Do you have a second sermon?" And the pastor replies, "When the church obeys the first sermon, they'll get the second one." Okay, it's not really a ha-ha sort of joke. But it makes you think, right? Ultimately, because this is what the Christian life is all about. Obedience, becoming more like Jesus. It's not about collecting the right set of beliefs. Having the right beliefs is important, right? We're going to talk about some of that next week, but it's not the main thing. I love the comment that James makes in James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Right? Collecting the right set of beliefs and checking what we believe against the scriptures to make sure that what we are believing, that we're believing rightly, is important. Right? James's response is good. It's good that you believe right. But there's more. There's more. The most important thing is being more like Jesus. And that is an action, not a belief. Beliefs shape our actions, yes. But James's whole point in chapter 2 is that it is entirely possible to have the right beliefs and not allow them to shape your actions. If your actions aren't being changed, James asks, do you really hold those beliefs? Scary. Jesus says something very similar in Luke chapter 6, though of course, Jesus says it so beautifully and evocatively that I can't just gloss over the words. I need to read it to you. In Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, a torrent struck that house that could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Okay, so we've established that growing in our faith is important and that growing in faith means putting it into action, that there are steps that we can take to move forward, and that it requires our participation or we will grow stagnant. So how? How do we grow in our faith? How do we prioritize spiritual growth? Well, it's gardening season. Who's doing a garden this year? Show of hands. Is anyone doing a garden? Yeah, we got a bunch? Okay, awesome. My house has been full of gardening talk. Danielle is making all kinds of plans about what she wants to grow and mapping out and what should go where. So talk to her. I have nothing to do with it. I just build the boxes. But let's use some of that language as a framework for our own spiritual growth. I've got three things for you today. So if you're taking notes, here they are. Seed, root, branch. I don't see pens moving. Just kidding. When you want to harvest, when you want to grow, you need to put the right things in. What you plant is what you'll harvest, right? You're not going to plant carrots and harvest watermelon. That's not how that works. This is like the input side of the equation. And it can feel like the part with the least action because the actions here feel most disconnected from the results. But it's far from passive. If you want to harvest spiritual growth, if you want to be more like Jesus, you need to put in spiritual things. You need to plant God's thoughts. Excuse me. I've had a terrible cough. You need to plant God's thoughts. You need to invest the time and the energy in actually doing it. If you ask me, the main thing, the number one thing to do if you're not going to do anything else, if you want just one, read your Bible. Read your Bible. That's the one. Focus on the New Testament, the four Gospels, and the letters to the churches that come after. And if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. But just keep reading. Keep putting those seeds in. Read big chunks. Read little bits and just chew on them. Just don't stop. Now, there's more that you can do, but reading your Bible is the big one. Prayer is another way that we can plant those seeds of spiritual growth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we find, I like to refer to it as a little checklist of spirituality, these short, punchy verses of instruction on how to live well. And in verse 17, we read just two words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Prayer is our communication with God. God can hear you, whether you're praying out loud or just speaking in your mind with your thoughts. He hears it all. And Jesus, as you read the Gospels, is found constantly pulling away from the crowd so that he can spend time in prayer. Now, this feels a little counterintuitive. How can the time that we spend talking to God be a seed? When we read the Bible, we understand that we're putting God's thoughts into our hearts and our minds, right? But in prayer, if anything, aren't we the ones throwing something out? And yet, somehow, when we pray, when we spend time with God, we can't do it. We can't spend time with God without receiving something in return. Somehow, when we pray, it is we who are changed. God works in us as we lay our hearts bare to him. As we present our requests to God, the peace which surpasses all understanding comes to rest in us. As we lay our anxieties at his feet, he is at work in us. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but it's true. Can I get an amen? The third seed that we can sow when we want to reap a harvest of spiritual growth is worship. Now, for the sake of this conversation, I mean singing or listening worship. Though I would argue that worship is much broader than just that. For the sake of the conversation, that's what we're referring to. Now, singing worship isn't something that you need to come to church that you can do. Right? You can sing the song that's on your heart. Or you can play your favorite worship tunes from Spotify or YouTube. Or if you're old like me and want to listen to a CD or a cassette tape. Like prayer, worship is a time investment. But like reading the Bible, worship also involves putting words into your heart from the music. And for many, the familiar words of the hymns or of favorite worship songs are actually what comes out when life gets difficult. It is well with my soul. Right? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. These words aren't scripture. They're not the Bible. And yet, they are the thoughts and prayers inspired by the scriptures. And they are just as dear for many of us. When you want to plant those seeds, you read your Bible, you pray, and you worship. That's seed. Now, anybody who has raised a garden knows that it's not just about what you plant, it's also about where you plant it and what that environment continues to look like. This is our second idea, root. In the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus tells this story, which we know as the parable of the sower. And this is a story all about the environment that the seed is put into. In this story, the seed, which symbolizes the word of God, falls in all kinds of places. In some places, the ground is too hard and the seed can't enter the soil. In others, the soil is too thin, and when the plants sprout, they are scorched by the sun because they can't get their roots down. In others still, the soil is filled with weeds, and the seed is choked out by what else is already growing in that plot. We want to avoid these outcomes and be like the fourth kind, the good soil that yields a crop of godliness. So we pay attention to our roots, to where we are planting and what kind of environment that we're creating for spiritual growth. When we do that, what kind of actions can we take? I think that there are lots of things that we can do, but for the sake of today, I'm going to focus on two areas, the inside environment and the outside environment. Now, when I say inside environment, that's very much what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the sower. It's the condition of our hearts. It's the focus of our minds. It's the expectant nature of our souls. When we make time to take in the seed of the Bible or prayer or worship, we need to make sure that our hearts are actually ready, that we're paying attention to what's going on, not just letting our minds wander and worry. but also that we have an attitude of faith, that we come in not just undistracted, but also expecting to meet and hear from God, that we recognize the importance of what's going on and have that attitude of being ready to receive. That is going to make us good soil and allow us to put roots down deep that will allow us to grow and be more like Jesus. On the idea of the outside environment, this is really cool because where you can make a lot of this work just become passive, right? If you're in the right environment, you don't need to be pushing a lot of these things yourself because the environment will do it. The big one, when we talk about the outside environment for spiritual growth, is coming to church. Good job. You did it. Now, this is cool because you don't need to pick out worship music to listen to when you come to church, right? We do that. Or rather, Ashley does that and Cynthia does that, right? Like, our team takes care of that for you. And you just show up and somebody opens the Bible and teaches you from it, right? Church does a lot of this stuff for you. Now, it's only one day a week, so you still have to do it the rest of the week. But it helps. But more than that, when you're in church, when you go to small group, when you just hang around other Christians who are trying to be more like Jesus, it creates an environment that is positive for growth. Do you know the parable of the ember? It's not from the Bible. It's not a real parable, but I think it makes this point. A man decides that he's not going to church anymore. He doesn't need it. He can meet God anywhere. Sunday morning is inconvenient. A few weeks later, the pastor hears about this decision through the grapevine and decides to pay the man a visit at his home. The man welcomes the pastor, and they sit together in front of a roaring fire. After a few minutes of silence, the pastor takes the tongs and pulls an ember out of the fire, and it places it on the mantle. The embers glow brilliantly, but after a few seconds begins to cool, the brilliant glow fading to a dull red and finally a cold black. The pastor takes the tongs again and places the ember back in the fire, and immediately it bursts back to life, picking up the heat and light and energy of the embers around it. The pastor stands up to leave, and the man says, "Thank you for the fiery sermon. I'll see you on Sunday." Now, the story doesn't just apply to church attendance, though that is obviously the main application. Any time that you spend focused time with other believers, you are putting yourself in an environment conducive to your spiritual growth. Even something as simple as coming to a church board game night, plug, can still push you towards being more like Jesus. And that's to say nothing of taking time out to pray and study the Bible with other Christians. Where we plant our seeds can be as important as what seeds we plant. Choose and create and build an environment where your roots can go deep. So we've talked about seed, we've talked about root, and for the last idea, let's talk about branch. When you're starting a garden, especially in Manitoba, often you don't start outside. You start with seeds inside. And this is because our growing season is shorter than we'd like. But after a few weeks, the little dish that your seeds started in is no longer good enough, right? They run out of room, not just for the roots to go down, but also sometimes for the plant to grow up. My favorite thing that we grow in our garden is carrots. So we usually plant a whole bunch of them. But after a few weeks, you have to go in and thin them out. You have to pull out what would otherwise be perfectly good plants, except that they're too close to each other. Your plants need space. They need space to grow, to put down roots, to put out branches and catch the sun. And it's the same with your spiritual growth. As you learn, as you grow and obey and become more like Jesus, you are going to need some room to spread your branches if you want to actually bear fruit. We need to reach out. We need to provide some shade, to give something back. This is part of our spiritual growth. We don't just receive, right? God gives to us so that we can give to others. We pass it on. We pay it forward. We put our faith into action. Branch is all about making sure that you are in a place where you can give back and keep giving. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. We already read a little bit out of this, but let's read this whole section. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see, a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. When we put our faith into action, it is an essential part of our spiritual growth. We can't actually move forward without it. James gives us a good example of a way to do this by caring for the physical needs of those around us, giving food, giving clothing to those who are in need. I would suggest, though, that for many of us, giving is easy, or at least easier than actually showing up. Many of us support the food bank that Elim runs each week by giving towards it. Very few of us are part of giving out that food and getting to know the people who come. Many of us give to support our youth ministry. Very few of us are willing to come out on a Friday night and invest our very selves into teenagers. Being part of what God is doing in ministry, whether it's at Elim Chapel or through another program, is an incredible way to grow in our faith and to become more like Jesus. Because suddenly it's not theory anymore. It's real. There's real people there, right? And finding ways to put our faith into action, whether it's in how we interact with our kids or how we carry ourselves at our jobs, is essential to our spiritual growth. Seed, root, branch. That is how we reap a harvest of righteousness, how we become more like Jesus and present his light to the world. And what I love about this is it's not complicated. You don't need a degree in theology to understand spiritual growth. You don't need to wall yourself off in a monastery or devote yourself all day to every day to the scriptures. In fact, you'll be missing critical parts of your development if you do. Spiritual growth is something that we can all do. We can all do this, every one of us. We can be like Jesus. We can obey God, and we can be salt and light to a hurting world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be your people. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be every day more like him. Take our hearts, take our minds, take our very lives, God, and shape us. Conform us to the image of your Son. Help us to be more like you, God. We want to love like you. We want to see the world like you. We want to help people and love them and change the world the way that you want. Be with us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.